time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit, and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation, all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and friends, the top stories you see this caravan immigration coming up from Guatemala, Honduras, into Mexico. This story is exploding here over the weekend, and you know, as the election is coming closer and closer now, this story is very relevant to the midterm elections. We will talk about that today in a big way. Also, another story that really, to me, has gone mostly unreported, and I don't even know if you've been following this, lawlessness in Portland, Oregon. This is earth-shattering to me, what goes on there, and the Antifa mob that has really taken over the city. And you just have to see, there's a story on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com you must take a look at on that, from Susan Price. Unbelievable story. And then there's this big deal, you know, you've been hearing a lot about over the last week. Big deal to most people. It's the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. We're going to talk today with IQ and get behind the Saudi smiles. We're going to do a deep dive into that, so everybody understands more what goes on in Saudi Arabia and what kind of culture we're dealing with here. It's really important. And a panel discussion at the end of the show, the impact on 2018 midterm elections, Kavanaugh, the caravan, and crumbs. You could just let your mind wander right with that. Let's get to the top stories here, friend, and to the top of the show here. Ilana Friedman is here. She's a strategic counterterrorism intelligence analyst. She focuses on the impact of terrorism and its threat to America and the West. She's a columnist right here at America Out Loud. Also joining us is Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro. Joe is a retired police lieutenant, director of school security. He's a master trainer and the owner of Pangaro Training. He's also the host of an outstanding show called Chasing Justice. It plays noontime every weekday here on America Out Loud. All right, this caravan now. The timing on this is really unbelievable. What's happened in this particular case is Mexico now, the president came out and said, hey, wait a minute, you have got to stop this stuff. Because he knows once they get to the Mexico-U.S. border, we're in trouble. If they get there, what's going to happen is they're going to come right through, and then we got this crazy, insane catch-and-release program. You know, I want to start with you, Lieutenant Pangaro, from a sense of law enforcement. I want to, you know, we have this program called Catch and Release. It is the most arcane, insane program, I think some people believe. What is your take on that? Because once they get there, a lot of, you know what's really ironic? Sometimes when they fall over the border, they'll like drop over the fences and the walls, and they know they're going to get injured, but at least they'll get health care and they get taken to the hospital. They put their life at risk. And many of them run right into the hands of law enforcement and border security, Joe, because they're trying to get caught because they know our program here is set up for success for them, but failure for most Americans. What do you say to that?
When I look at this and I see there's no such thing as coincidence. As a criminal investigator, it's very rare that coincidence comes into anything. The catch and release program sounds like it's really was developed for another time, a time that's gone by, when you had the errant individual who ended up here and we needed to take a look at them, you'd be able to vet them out. What's going on now, like many of the things in our country, they're using our systems. Both our internal politicians are using our systems against us and our people in the caravan. They know once they get here, you're right, once they get to the U.S.-Mexican border, it's all over. All they got to do is breach the fences, get over the river, whatever it is. There are thousands of people. Many of them are going to get here. And this is going to continue. And this is all part of a bigger, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's obviously the timing, like you said, is not a coincidence. When we have to change these arcane laws. The fact is our Congress won't change them. So there has to be a benefit to somebody for this happening, and that's where you can't just look at the face value of something. You got to look behind it. You know, like we say in law enforcement all the time, you know, follow the money, and you'll figure out who's involved. Well, follow the benefit here. These people, I understand they probably come from places that are difficult. They're not the best. I've seen some interviews where they're saying there's no work. We need work. We need work. Well, work is not what you get political asylum for, but it's right. being portrayed as though they're being killed in their home countries and they have to flee to get out. Well, the first place they should flee to is the country next door to them. That's where they should get asylum, mm-hmm. not to come here to the United States. That is designed for a bigger purpose.
There are a lot of bad cats that are mixing in with these people, Alon. And back to terrorism, I've seen reports in the last 24 hours, well-documented news organizations, Alana, that document that, you know, over 100 ISIS terrorists have been caught in these countries as well that are melding into these groups. And so it's all a bit of a facade, isn't it now, Ilana?
I believe it is. And first of all, I think when you get 4,000 people like you have in marching together across country boundaries, you're talking about something that is not spontaneous. It has been organized. And so when Joe says you have to follow the money, I think that's exactly what you have to do. At least some of these people are being paid to do this adventure that they're on, crossing several country boundaries in order to get to the United States in time for the midterm election. This is carefully choreographed. All signs lead to following the money, lead to George Soros, people like George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, who are pouring millions into different areas that are meant to disrupt the process of American governance. The interesting thing is that Trump has risen to the occasion, used his leverage to frankly threaten Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, and telling them that if they did not stop the caravan before it reaches the U.S. border, he would cut off all aid to those countries, and he got their attention. So they are working to try to stop. Mexican put up what they had hoped would be a serious fencing, which they broke. Nevertheless, they're not here. Mexico is trying to rise to the occasion, as are Guatemala and Honduras.
Yeah, some of the scenes we're seeing, they're using tear gas, they're pushing people back. And of course, you've got to remember now, the cameras are out there trying to capture the kids and the women, specifically pregnant women. These are like photograph icons they look for so they can capture and then show the public. This is what, I guarantee you, over the next week or two, you're going to see an outcry from the far left. And they're going to be showing these images of how the plight of these people, and like you say, looking for jobs or a better life or what have you. Let's talk about solutions a moment about this. I want to stay right here a minute and talk about, you know, this is being used right now as a campaign issue. It's always been a campaign issue. It's always the left or the right. And Joe, you know full well, you talk about this stuff all the time. You talk about it on your show. You talk about it with the guys in the neighborhood all the time. And basically, this is really anything that our politicians can seem to use, which is left versus right, or it becomes a bigger debate. They tend to use it and they gravitate toward one side or the other. Sometimes I think many of us have to shake our heads and wonder what the ultimate goal is. What's the motive of these people? Sure. You know, is it just to have a total? I mean, Joe, where do these people come from? I mean, we hear the name Soros thrown around a lot, and we hear these, like she was Alana saying, Bloomberg and so many other wealthy people. You have to begin to question it. What cost do they want power? What are they really looking for? What's their vision and version of America? And I wonder that a lot. And how do we stop this insanity, Joe?
Well, the stopping it is difficult. We look and we see the upcoming elections, and I don't want to talk specifically about them, but you go, the congressional elections are really local elections. So you're going to elect a congressman, and everybody says, you know, the Congress has such horrible ratings. Nobody likes them. Nobody likes what they're doing, but my guy or my girl is good, so I'm going to vote for them again. We don't primary people. The fact that we don't have term limits turns that entire system into a system of self-repeating corruption. Once you get in there, how do people make $170,000 and 25 years later they got $200 million? The numbers don't add up. It's a game of corruption and power. And you said, you know, are we at the tipping point? As you know, Malcolm, a lot of my columns on America Out Live mm-hmm. on our webpage have talked about, you know, I describe it as reaching the crossroad. And for the last couple of years, I've been saying, I think we're getting closer and closer. And last year, I said, I think we have absolutely reached a crossroad, and we've now made a turn. We are heading into uncharted territory in a part of the history of our country that no one is prepared for. None of this is the way it was meant to be. It is all completely fluid and liquid at every moment, and it comes down to power and money. The people that are involved that want to have these people come into our country, they're not there to help these people. They are there because they represent a power base. Our elections separate, as presidential elections separate by about 5 million votes. If you bring in 10 million people and they all vote one particular way, it's over for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. There will be only one party. So I don't know that they are ideologically trying to destroy America. I think they want power. How do I get the power? Bring these people in. They're still going to have their money, the people at the top. They're going to have a wonderful life.
Yeah.
And then what happens down the bottom, that's for the rest of us to deal with.
That is so well said. And really, Ilana, you hear what Lieutenant Pingarro says. Yeah, I got to tell you something, man. Boy, you know Don well. He's spot on. And here's the thing. You know, if you're going to seek power and you want to be in a powerful position, Ilana, the more chaos you can create at the bottom, the more important you can feel. Now, I want everybody to think about that a moment.
It's very interesting to see who's at the top and who's at the bottom. If you look at the great majority of the people who are part of this caravan, they're all young males. There are thousands of them. And there are pregnant women and there are small families. But by and large, the people who are making up the bulk of this caravan are young males. On the other side, at the very top, are the far-left billionaires like George Soros and Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer. And these are people who are pouring millions of dollars to get Democrats elected because their agenda is to create the chaos that will give them the power, as you pointed out.
That's it.
And remove it from the conservative. It's very interesting. There's a group called Patriotic Millionaires, which is a far left group made up of 200 millionaires who hope to facilitate the wholesale rejection of modern conservatism.
Wow.
So they are pouring these millions and millions of dollars into anything that will corrupt the law and order of the conservative.
Okay. All right. We got a lot of other stories. Let me move on here. And I want to talk to you about what's happening in our own country here. This, again, the story I was telling you about up front here, the lawlessness in Portland, Oregon. Again, if you don't know about this, people, there's a story on the front page of America Out Loud by one of our columnists, Susan Price. She's a Gold Star mother. Antifa mob terrorized city. Portland police stand down while law-abiding citizens can go to hell. That's the real title of that story, and it's an eye-opener. Now, Lieutenant Pingarro, I tell you truthfully, I knew things were happening out there, but until I read Susan's post and I seen her story, and you watch some of the YouTube videos that are linked to that story, and it's shattering what's happening here in American cities. If you need any proof, people, any lesson, I'm talking about the corruption here is beyond anything I've seen. I mean, the mayor and the Portland chief, they have told their forces to stand down, Joe. Now, you know what that means from a law enforcement perspective, and I'm talking about innocent people who are driving through the cities that are even from out of the area trying to get from point A to point B. And they're being harassed and dragged out of cars and slapped and beat up and abused and murdered and raped and all kinds of stuff. You don't have to go to Guatemala for this. You can just go to Portland, Oregon, or go to any city. Go to Baltimore. There's many cities in this country this is happening. What do you make of this, Joe?
This is one of the most shocking things I have ever seen in our country.
Yeah.
Protest is an essential element of our freedom. We have to be able to stand up and protest things we don't agree with, redress of the government, that kind of stuff. What we're seeing with this Antifa, they are useful to the power base. The police chief, I'm sure the cops in the street, would love nothing better than to clean up this mess and restore order. But you have the politicians that are above that. Can you imagine if the police come wading into this crowd of stick-wielding, masked individuals? It's going to result in violence. There's no doubt about it. These people are going to fight. And what are the police supposed to do? Take a beating? No, the police are to go in and put down this insurrection is what's going on and stop it. And it's going to look ugly. And of course, that's going to result back to the mayor. And you have a very political community there on the left who don't like the police to begin with. And they are going to immediately scream for the head of the mayor, for the head of the police chief. Look at the brutality of the police. So everyone's backing off to save themselves. And in the meantime, the fact that those people in charge abandoned their citizens to that violence and that chaos. I saw some videos of people just trying to drive through the street, and they're on their own. This is a dystopian future that's happening right in front of us.
Exactly.
And that should be immediately removed. You see Portland and what's going on there, it's coming to a town near you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're all just sitting here like the frog in the water that's starting to heat up, and it's going to be too late when it gets here. It's going to push us to the point of people are going to take actions that's going to ignite. There's going to be a Fort Sumter moment somewhere very near down the road is what I'm afraid.
I want to change up just a little bit here, and I want to move over to what's going on with our politicians, to some of the sanctions going on to Iran. Ilana, this is now, again, Iran is going to be central to a lot of our foreign policy in the months and years ahead because they're going to be next now that North Korea has settled down a little bit here. You've got, you know, the sanctions now have been riveted up since we pulled out of that agreement. Now the president has extended them to banking, manufacturing, et cetera. Their economy is really hurting out in Iran. Of course, this is the provocateur of terrorism around the globe. We're speaking about Iran. How do you think these sanctions will impact them? What's the next thing we expect to get out of Iran?
I think the impact of the sanctions is significant. And the more sanctions we put on them, the harder it is for them to function. Iran has been trying to support terrorism and spending a great deal of money on support for organizations like Hamas and Hezbollah. But also they have been spending money on building their nuclear capability, even though they say they're not. We know that they are. They were for a long while, helping to support the North Korean nuclear development.
Right.
And all but their economy is hurting terribly. The people are in the streets and they are demonstrating, and the demonstrations are not going away. They are getting more and more serious. I'm hearing from my contacts that these are doing severe damage to the government, because people are coming out now and really accusing the government of mismanagement. And they want food, they want jobs, just like everybody else. The people, that is to say the people of Iran, who are really good people. But the government is tyrannical and is trying to do too much with too few resources. I hear that this is happening, that the government is actually fracturing. And within the year, there is the possibility that it will fall.
What do you make of this school massacre in Crimea that killed a lot of people? I mean, more than 50 injured. Some are in comas, very seriously injured. Reports are between 19 and 21 were killed. We don't know the exact number. But this, and then Vladimir Putin comes out and he blames globalization, which I find very interesting. I guess that's a slam to the West, maybe he's thinking, because it seems to happen a lot over here. But now it's happened in Russia. What do you know about this story?
Well, when we see the phenomenon of these school shootings, you have many people that are involved in these. It's not so much there's a profile of the person, but the reality is you have a lot of undiagnosed mental conditions. And when you have people with undiagnosed mental conditions and they make statements, they do things, we're seeing it explode, younger and younger people exploding in schools. We had the same kind of things back in the day, so to speak, but you didn't have kids bringing out a family shotgun to school and killing 12 of their classmates. We see that phenomenon as a modern phenomenon because these kids, they see this on social media, they see it in the world, they know when they have a grievance, they can go and I don't know how much I put into it that they want to get on TV to do that, but it becomes part of the culture, and now we have a world culture. We have a 24/7, very small world now. The world is flat. We can all get everywhere immediately on the internet. And that attack in Russia is very, very similar to ones we have here in America. A kid brings weapons and bombs to school and attacks people, takes out his anger, his vents whatever problems he's having on the innocent kids around him. And, you know, Vladimir Putin saying that it's, you know, globalization. The only thing I can think to that is that he sees, hey, we can see this everywhere now, and now it's affecting our people.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are seeing this, and they're using the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a copycat kind of a way to respond to these mental conditions, problems that they have, whatever it is. But this genie's not going back in the bottle either. You know, there was an article we had there on the America Out Loud website. Was can we see violence before it erupts? And I absolutely say, absolutely, you can see violence before it erupts. They're going to investigate this kid, and they're going to find out that there were things he said, did, drew, wrote, whatever, and for whatever reason, those pieces of the puzzle were not looked at clearly.
That's right.
And we end up with 20 dead innocent kids. It's going to happen here in America again. It's just a matter of time. The next attack anywhere, these school shootings are only days or moments away. It's up to us to put those pieces together now. And that's that's what I do.
Yeah, it is. It is. Joe, it's so good to have you here today. And I just always love the common sense that you make. I want to remind people, you can hear Lieutenant Joe Panguero every day at noontime on America Out Loud, Chasing Justice. This next segment now coming up is an important one. IQ Al Razuli will be joining us. And this is a man who knows all about the background of the Middle East, who these people are. What's behind the Saudi smiles is what I call it here in regards to the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. There's so much we don't know about this story, but in order to understand this story, you have to really understand the culture of these people and how barbaric many of them are. And I want to get into that in a profound way. I think you'll learn some very interesting things, I am certain, in this next segment that you will not hear anywhere else. I can almost promise you that. And I haven't heard him talk yet, but we will in just a moment here. Big thank you to Ilana Friedman, Lieutenant Joseph Panguero. Friends, we'll be back with more Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let me bring on here now our weekly columnist on America Out Loud and a friend of our platform, IQ Al Razuli. He's the author of Lifting the Veil. IQ was born in Iraq, by the way. He's an Arabic speaker, and he's got, again, on our bookstore, you'll find his trilogy, or in Amazon, the three volumes, Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. And you can follow IQ every Monday. His column is on the front page of America Out Loud, and he's got the most fascinating reads. If you want to bone up on some information about Muhammad and Islam and Muslimhood and what's going on, here's the man that you want to read up on and communicate with. So, Jamal Khashoggi, there are a lot of rumors. Rumors are flying high right now about him and his connections. Now, tell me what you know about him, because he had some pretty out there connections. His connections and support for the Muslim Brotherhood, his connections and support to the terrorists, the Palestinian terrorist groups, to Hamas. I mean, this guy was hanging with some pretty bad company. Now, tell me what you know about that, and what does that all mean to his eventual murder?
I mean, the guy was not a saint. The only reason he's a saint now is because the news media in America is using him to hammer Donald Trump. That's the only reason. Look, 4,000 people coming from Guatemala or whatever, Honduras, to invade America should have been number one item on the news. But the death of one Muslim, all of a sudden, it becomes the most important thing in the world. 500,000 Syrians have been murdered by Muslims, and nobody says anything. Hundreds of thousands of Christians, in fact, over a million of them now, had to be removed. They were literally removed from Iraq, my country. And nobody says anything. Why all of a sudden Khashoggi? Only because of Donald Trump. Now, let me tell you this. Donald Trump does not have to do anything against Saudi Arabia. They killed one of their own people. True, barbaric. But everything in Islam is barbaric. What does ISIS do? Barbarism. What does Boko Haram do? Barbarism. The same thing with Hamas and Hezbollah. So why all of a sudden the death of one man? It is a cover. They want to humiliate Donald Trump. That's all. Khashoggi was not innocent. He went to the Saudi consulate or embassy or whatever it was, knowing that he was under threat. He went. He paid for it with his life. True, they barbarically killed him. But that's nothing special in Saudi Arabia. That's nothing special in Islam.
What I understand thus far, the reports on this are this. Supposedly, they took him and initially cut his fingers off of him. So they tortured him, in other words, so he would feel the pain. And know evidently what he did to, again, the Saudi royalty, the family, Salman specifically. And so they tortured him by cutting his limbs off, and then they cut his head off. Now, by any standard, IQ, if that happened in the West anywhere, there would be, like, I mean, the cries and the shouts would be from here to the mountaintops. You would hear, like, it would be the most egregious thing ever that happened. But yet, these people do this on a daily, regular basis. In fact, I said on radio the other day, they do this before breakfast in the morning. They think nothing of it. Here's what I want to ask you, specifically, for people that are listening. Explain to us, if you can, and just plain talk here. They can, I mean, this doesn't faze them at all. They have no problem with torture, and they have no problem with brutally murder. They have no problem with being barbaric. They have no problem with any of this. How is it, my friend, that certain people can do this and their conscience is totally clean versus anybody else that has, you know, from our walk of life, it would be like, it would be the most inhumane thing you could ever imagine in your life. Explain, take a minute and explain to us, so listeners get it, what the difference is in those two cultures, please.
It's really simple. They are emulating Muhammad. Who is Muhammad? According to Islam, Muhammad is the most perfect human being that was ever created, superior to Jesus, to Moses, and to Abraham. Muslims have to emulate Muhammad. The Quran mandates it. The perfect man. Well, this perfect man, what did he do in his life? What was Muhammad? A pathological liar, a mass murderer, a predator upon women, and a child molester and rapist. That's the history of Islam. Why is everybody shocked? I can't believe it. 1400 years, you have the history of 1400 years of Islam. They massacred and exterminated 110 million Hindus, 140 million Africans. 70 million Christians and other peoples were either massacred or enslaved. Why all of a sudden everybody is shocked? There's nothing shocking about Islam. Islam is opposite of anything the human beings have ever aspired for. This is why you have 57 Muslim majority states.
I'm like you in many ways. The hypocrisy is more than I can stand, buddy. I cannot stomach it. And I know that's how you are as well. We don't like that double, triple standard that goes on out there with these power seekers. And like you say, how they can use one murder as some sort of a big development, like this is some big earth-shattering thing that's never happened before. Like I said, it happens every day before breakfast. I mean, it is not a big deal to these people. It's how they act. It's who they are. Let me ask you this. The Saudi prince now, Prince Mohammed bin Salman here, the MBS, do you have any doubt in your mind? Let's explain to people now, because you know the background, you know the family, you know what this is all about. Was he involved in the decision to murder Khashoggi, yes or no?
You need 16 people to go to the embassy to kill one man. Why? I mean, where's the logic, for God's sake? Why do you need 16 people? I mean, to murder a single human being, you need another human being. Maybe he was involved. Maybe he isn't involved. Maybe it was done to spite him. We don't know. These things, we don't know. But what's happening is, you have the New York Times, you have the leftists in the government in the United States of America, all the news, fake media. They are literally doing it to hurt Trump and nothing else.
Yeah.
Look, America has a deal, $110 billion worth, armaments with Saudi Arabia. Why should anybody jeopardize it? Why is all of a sudden Saudi Arabia picked? Why not Pakistan? Why not Afghanistan? Why not Iraq? Why not the Palestinians? Why all of a sudden Saudi Arabia? But Saudi Arabia has been with America for since 1923. They've been allies. I'm not saying they love each other. It's a use. Each other uses each other. There's no question about it. It becomes independent, literally, completely and utterly independent with oil and gas the game is over. There is a difference.
Well, it's getting close to that now, buddy. It's getting pretty close to that. Energy independence here, you're right. The Middle East has been a token. Although, I don't really know if that's going to be the case, though, IQ, because you've got Israel there, don't forget. The Middle East will always be important because of Israel, don't you think?
Yes, but Israel is not the problem. Islam is the problem. When did a single American die defending Israel? Please tell me.
Yeah,
10,000 Americans died defending Muslims and Arabs.
So you're saying Israel can handle itself is what you're telling
100%
me.
100% guaranteed. They need help from America.
Yeah, look, it's amazing.
They need armaments from America.
Yeah. Okay. You know, IQ, I've been thinking a lot in the past days and weeks about how ironic it is that Israel, God's chosen people, how it's really right in the center of hell.
It is. That's exactly what happened all the time.
I know.
If you look at the history of Israel, they were always in the center of hell.
It's amazing to me. I don't think this is a cruel joke. I think this is very intentional by the standards of what God intended. You know what I mean?
Correct. That's why they are. Look, the Jews should never have survived.
That's right.
There should have been no Jews left on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But all the people who wanted the Jews dead are dead.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, all of them are gone. Mm-hmm. Even the Arabs. What are they? What do they produce?
Yeah.
Nothing. Zero. Israel, 8 million people, 6 million Jews, 2 million Arabs, in 8,000 square miles, outproduces the whole of Ummat Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
the Muslims, of 1.5 billion, 100 to 1.
I mean, you think about that, you're right. How is that possible, IQ? You know, when you think about that, IQ, and we put it in the terms that we just put it in, and then if somebody ever says to me or doubts, is there a God? I almost want to say, this is proof number one, evidence number one. Let's just open this conversation and talk about exactly what you and I are talking about right now. And if you are to question out there, is there a God? And what is the intent of this? Just look at what we are talking about right at this moment, people, when it comes to Israel and their basic existence.
Existence of Israel is against all odds, I
know.
Swear. Look, today Israel is only second to America in creating new inventions. Second only to America, not even to Europe.
Wow.
Only to America.
Yeah.
8,000 square miles with 6 million Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Second only to America of 338 million.
Yeah. I love Israel. Love the people, the Israeli people. And I just think it's a spectacular place. It is absolutely, truly amazing for this to be in the middle of, like I said, hell, really. But the middle of that desert and what they've done with that is purely a gift of God. I mean, there is no way that could happen. You cannot argue that with me at all. It's not possible. You're going to win that one. I like what you say moments ago. I got to circle back because it was a big deal. And I'm so glad you said what you said, by the way, about, I'm very proud, very pleased that you always give the truth, but that MBS, you said to listeners here a moment ago, that no, I don't know that he was involved, Malcolm, because everybody said, okay, he's involved, and you say, you know, the obvious answer that most would say is, yeah, he was involved because nothing gets by them without them knowing. But then you say this, and I look at the evidence here. If you were trying to hide a hit like this, and you know this would be, like, you wouldn't want the world to know this, if you were the prince and you were going to order this specifically, I mean, would you send 15, 16 of these cats in pure daylight right over there at the consult that walk in just before he walks in? Would you send them with the bone saw? And would you send them with all of this evidence? And, I mean, he would have to be the most stupidest. He'd have to be a complete jackass, IQ. Talk to me. Come on, answer. He's got to be a jackass if he did this.
But he's not a jackass. Now, something else. How did all this information come from inside the consulate? You know, if you go to Israeli consulate,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go one day to because I wanted to travel, they take your mobile away from you. They don't allow you, and by the way, the American embassy also, they don't allow you to take your mobile with you, ever. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but they said he had an Apple Watch, so you're saying that didn't happen either.
Apple Watch is like a mobile, everybody
knows. Of course it is.
And here he was, he went in, and he had all the Wi-Fi connections and everything else that you would be able to transmit outside. You know what? I can't believe it.
That's a lie, huh?
I can't believe it. I'm not saying it didn't happen. All I'm saying, it sounds very shady.
Yeah. Wow. All right. talked, Saudi Arabia is the seat of Wahhabism. Explain to people in layman terms what Wahhabism is, please.
Well, Wahhabism is named after a man called Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. He was what they call ultra-conservative. You see, people think there are shades in Islam. There are no shades in Islam. You are either a Muslim obedient to Sharia or you're not. I said it many times on your show. Mm-hmm. While Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda followed the Quran word by word, ISIS and Wahhabism followed the Quran letter by letter, comma by comma, and dot by dot. This is a huge difference. Wahhabism is fundamentalist Islam. ISIS is fundamentalist Islam. When ISIS burns the pilot, the Jordanian pilot, while Muhammad burnt the Jews in Khaybar. When they take slaves, women, for sex slaves, Muhammad did exactly the same thing. You've got to understand, Americans have got to understand, you cannot separate a Muslim from Muhammad. It is impossible. And whatever the Muslim does, he does it because Muhammad did it before 1400 years ago. Yeah. There is nothing difficult about Islam the minute you understand these fundamentals. Wahhabism is exactly what the Wahhabis and the Saudis combined together because they believed that Muslims were going westernized. Can you understand that? Being westernized is anathema. And yet, think about it. Whatever a Muslim is wearing, whatever a Muslim is using, has been created not by Muslims, by infidels, by non-Muslims. Nobody asked that question. You know, when a Muslim bragged, look, take Farah Khan of the Nation of Islam, calling the Jews termites, no problem. But nobody goes and says to him, but look, you son of a gun, you piece of garbage, your ancestors came to America. How did they get to America? They got to America on a ship. Who brought them? White slavers. But who sold them to the white slavers? Arabs and Muslim blacks. Nobody says that to him.
IQ, there are a lot of politicians right now calling for MBS to step down. They want the prince out of there, like we can control that, like it's our country or something, you know. But they're actually demanding that. Tell me what you think happens from this. Does Prince Salman, does he make it through this? Does he stay in power?
Good God, of course he will. Why shouldn't he? Right. Who are these people who are telling prince or the king of an individual state step down? Who? What, the news media? Why aren't the news media telling Angela Merkel to step down? After all, she brought in 1.5 million Muslims to destroy Germany. What are we discussing here? We're discussing, you see, Donald Trump called them fake media. Mm-hmm. He was very kind to them. And for 10 years, I have always said that besides Islam, the greatest threat to human civilization in the West, whether America or Europe, are the news media.
Yeah. Well, it's called selective outrage. That's what we call it, IQ, you know, right?
Yeah.
Selective outrage. It's all about power, greed, and what they're looking for. And I think the more that my goal here, people, is for you to really understand these bouncing balls and where they go. And IQ, you explain it so well, all of it. And I was really looking forward to having this conversation with you because I thought you would. First of all, I was curious. We hadn't talked about it before just now, but I was very curious to get your perspective on it. Who somebody understands this culture better than anybody that I know and speaks and writes about it on a daily basis. It was good to get your perspective here. There's a lot more to talk about on this. We'll follow up and have IQ back to continue more of this dialogue. And let's see what happens with Jamal Khashoggi, friends. Let's see what takes place here and what the ultimate decision is, because there's a lot at stake here again. A lot at stake. Again, Saudi Arabia is the key to dealing with Iran. It's the key to dealing with a lot of the evil out there. And, you know, it is what it is. It is a culture unto its own, people. And we can't control that, can we now? Yeah, think about it, right? A big thank you here to IQ Al Razouli. Friends, again, you'll read most of his columns and his write-ins right at America Out Loud every Monday. Just go to the nav bar to bloggers and look at IQ, and you go to his expert page, and I'm telling you, you'll get more information and knowledge on this topic than you could ever imagine. You'll get it right here. And every Monday, you'll hear his thoughts, and we enjoy having him on here as well. Okay. So next up, we have this big panel conversation coming at you here about the midterm elections. And we'll call on this one Kavanaugh, the Caravan, and Crumbs. More Viewpoints in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. This next conversation is going to be a big one. This is a panel discussion we're going to have with four outstanding people, and I've entitled this one, The Impact on the 2018 Midterm Elections. This is Kavanaugh, the Caravan, and Crumbs. So you can do your math right there and let your imagination run wild. That's what we'll do here. And welcome onto the show here, please. Terry Beatley is here. She is president of Hosea Initiative. She's an author and host of What If We've Been Wrong right here on America Out Loud. Certainly she's a mover and shaker out there doing a lot of great things. Dennis Santiago is also here. He's another mover and shaker. He's a global risk and financial analyst. His subject matter expertise includes strategic warfare, asymmetric warfare, arms control, and global stability. Joining us back on the show here, friends, from earlier on, Ilana Friedman, of course, as you know, is here. And IQ Al Rizzulli joins us. So we have got what you call a full house as we have this conversation here. All right. And I mean, this is a big midterm election. It's and really, you know who's on trial here, Dennis, is going to be Donald Trump is clearly on trial. So when they go in to vote, what are going to be, in your opinion, the deciding factors that are going to sway this election, do you think?
I think the biggest deciding factor that's going to sway this election is who's the most activated base come election day, and the race is on to pull as many strings as possible. And right now, I would say the Republicans are ahead.
You think so? Now, yeah. Were they ahead because of the engagement of Kavanaugh, do you think? Did that get them? That seemed to get them really fired up, right?
Yeah, I think simply the amount of acrimony that occurred because of the Kavanaugh thing. It was a galvanizing moment for the Republicans in particular, you know, kind of a disappointing moment for the Democrats in that in a lot of cases, a lot of their issues fell apart on them. But more than that, the Kavanaugh thing disrupted the plans that the Democrats had for building their vote base, because it just totally threw the agenda off. And I think that threw their game plan off far too off kilter and played into the hands of Republicans. So, you know, from a tactical standpoint, I think it's advantage red right now.
Yeah. Terry, what do you think, in your opinion, are going to be the biggest deciding factors? I mean, you hear what Dennis says in regards to Kavanaugh. What do you think is going to be the big factors when they go into vote?
It didn't just throw the Democrat Party plan off. It imploded in their face. And I'm thanking God that it did just that, because it shows the American public who was tuned into it just how extreme that the Democrat Party has no boundaries of what they would go through to crush a great reputation of a very good man. The other thing is the George Soros-funded invasion of our southern border, where they're literally handing out $100 bills to these people who are approaching our border. That's going to blow up in their face as well, because we all know it's George Soros-funded, and it's game over. Because I can tell you what, even an immigrant, a legal immigrant to our country. They do not want the illegal invasion of our country, and they will join the Republican Party. So thank God for Donald Trump.
And you got to remember as well, a lot of the polls are very, very tricky because, Terry, a lot of people do not admit who they're voting for or what their philosophies are until they get in there and do it. A lot of people still hold it private. And because of the public controversy with Trump, a lot of people don't want to admit it otherwise, which is why in 2016, Trump did what he did and surprised the masses. People are saying that could happen in the midterm here well.
I think it is. I think it's going to be a big surprise. I think that's what I'm banking on. I think it's going to surprise, usually the midterms are, I don't know what percentage it's down, but I think there's a big surprise getting ready to happen. Wow. I can't wait to walk into that voter booth.
Wow. Well,
because what the Democrat Party's done, it hurts women, it hurts men, it hurts children.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. End of story. So yeah. And I think most people can relate to that.
Right. Ilana, so the midterms typically are low voter turnout. And what Dennis actually hit the nail right on the head there when we started this conversation by saying, hey, wait a minute, it's who's going to be the most engaged, who's really on fire. But you can't underestimate either group, Ilana, because the Democrats really hate Trump. And they're really engaged because they want him out of there. In fact, some of them are getting so nasty, they're talking about a coup. They want to get in there and actually remove him from office. I mean, I'm hearing some of the most egregious conversations I've ever heard in removing of a president. I mean, impeachment only being one of the kindest things they're saying. So that means that both sides are really engaged. That means I think you can probably expect, Ilana, a record-breaking turnout for this midterm election. You agree with that?
I would agree with that. One of the things that is energizing the Democrats is that since the 2016 elections, they've been consumed by a hatred unlike anything we've seen before. So my question is not just what will happen in the election, but what will happen after the election if the Republicans win or if the Democrats win. And I would suggest that there may not be much of a difference. The Democrats and the liberals and the socialist political, their political allies have accepted violence as a legitimate expression of their political views. And I'm afraid that if we lose, we'll see an expansion of the violent tactic, which is going to be fed off of their hatred and their frustration. And if they win, they will use their success to justify more of the same. In other words, regardless of the outcome, the violence will continue, and America will continue to face from the left an outpouring of antipathy that is going to put America in real jeopardy unless law and order is returned to the
street. Boy, that is well said, Ilana. I got to tell you, I've not heard it put that way. The way you say they using the violence, that it's become acceptable.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my. I mean, you really nail it with that comment. You don't hear that as well, and it doesn't even ring true that we're saying this, but it is. It seems. I hate to admit you're correct is what I'm saying. I wish you were wrong when you say that.
Because, I wish I were too.
Because it's so bad. So IQ, what's happening here now and what Ilana brings out I think is a great pivot point to you because we're now seeing, again, violence as the go-to means that a lot of people are using. It's no longer, they hide it under the guise of peaceful protest. Of course, it's not peaceful. And when we talked about this early on in the show today, some of the things that are happening in cities like Portland, Oregon, and what's happening in Minnesota and other areas of the nation, it's mind-boggling. Now, you come from a different part of the world, IQ. You follow this as well as anybody does here in America, but come from another area of the world. What do you see from the outside looking in as this midterm approaches?
I'll tell you. When Americans will go to the voting, they have to pull the lever or tick a square. They have to think, am I better off now than I was in the last 2 years than I was under 8 years of Obama? Is America better off in the last 2 years than 8 years of Obama? And then pull the lever. I believe there will be a huge move from blacks and Hispanics who will support Donald Trump. I agree with all of them. I think there will be a red wave.
You do. So you think it's going to be a red wave, and other people are saying, some people are saying it may not be a wave this time, it may be a tsunami.
Let's don't exaggerate. I'll accept a red wave.
Yeah, accept a wave or just a little trickle in here. All right, so Dennis, are you buying the idea of this wave again? We started it here, and the midterm always goes against the sitting president, and never, it's hardly ever in favor of who's in office. In a midterm election, we're speaking about, clearly. So this was supposed to be a blue wave itself. But again, what you started to talk about is that you believe the Democrats overplayed their hand with Kavanaugh. And that, to me, was, I think that's going to be a turning point in this whole conversation, Dennis, because when that started to, when they overplayed it his way, that way, it became really in the face of, I think America could see what was really going on here. I mean, that really is the turning point, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, by overplaying their hand pretty much throughout the entire summer, they activated a whole bunch of counter waves to what they were doing. I mean, you know, Kanye be my man, right? I mean, this whole thing is like... you know, and, you know, men matter too. And basically, by pushing so hard on their treasure issues, trying to activate the base that they thought they needed to win this election, right, they basically activated all the other parts of this country, basically saying, no, that's not how the United States works. The United States is actually an amalgam of all these different people. And we have our say in how these things happen to, and they're going to pay dearly for thinking that they could do targeted, get these people here and there. But, you know, that's kind of the thing that happens when you use money to buy votes. And the countries in Central America are imploring their people to come back because, you know, this is the Organization of American States starting to work the way it's supposed to. And you know who's responsible for that? Well, it's Donald Trump, right? So, you know, there's yet
That's
another
right.
one of those creating, yep. manufacturing waves that blows up in your face. The Democrats have never really been very good at this kind of manufactured crisis stuff because they're very shallow in the way that they go after them. It's you know, you scratch past the surface and you see the real complexity of the issue and things come back to haunt them. And they're coming back to haunt them all together at this midterm. So...
here we've got the president calls Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Mexico on the carpet and says, hey, wait a minute. You want our treasure? You want us to help fund and give you all this money? Really, it's American taxpayer donations. Then you need to stop these caravans. Now, these caravans, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of people. There was a couple of reports in the last 24 hours that a lot of, there's been confirmed over 100 ISIS terrorist people have been mixed in with these people in these countries coming from Guatemala and Honduras. Talk about that point, because I don't think Americans really understand or are paying attention, IQ, to the severity of that southern border.
Americans have to wake up. Ilana was right, by the way, when she said legal Americans, legal Hispanic or black, they don't want these illegal immigrants for one simple reason. These illegals will come in, you have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to take medical care of them, you've got to educate them, you've got to assimilate them. Who's going to pay for it? The American taxpayer. Why? Why should the American taxpayer pay for illegals? The word is illegal. I can't understand why the Democrats don't understand English. The word is illegal.
Right.
In any country, if somebody wants to invade the territory of China, they will shoot them.
Right, right. A lot of people, a lot of my friends on the left would say, wait a minute, Malcolm, America is America. You know, the statue, we're supposed to take the tired, the poor, the people who need it the most. I mean, and there's an argument with a lot of immigration experts who say, wait a minute, that's not going to improve our country. So I think the philosophy and the ideology behind America is lost, number one, Terry. Is America a doormat that should take anybody, whoever, whatever, if they have a need? Is that the goal of America, and is that our mandate to the world? Or is it one that we should protect our sovereign borders and know who's coming and going? Do you see the problem here? From a Christian standpoint, what would you say is the direction forward?
Well, the direction forward should be what we used to do in the very beginning. So you reference that Statue of Liberty. What's the island the immigrants used to come into?
Ellis Island.
Have to
Ellis
pass
Island.
A health test right there in New York.
Right. Yep.
Thank you. Ellis Island. If you go to Ellis Island, take the tour, as Americans ought to do, what they would discover is they weren't letting in everybody. If you had a disease, guess what? You were turned back. You were shipped back. And I mean, you had to pass tests. You had so it goes back to, I think, probably what everybody's been saying here. It's about legal immigration. And it's also a controlled number of people coming in. You know, I did an interview with a Hispanic man from, I think he was from Peru, but he was born in the United States. His parents immigrated here. He was born here. One of the big issues is even the illegals who are here now. I mean, check this out. The illegals who are here now, they don't even want any more people coming over illegally. Why? It's economics 101. The more illegals, it's driving down the wages. Because if I'm an employer and I need to go get some labor help, I can go hire somebody for $3 an hour as opposed to paying that minimum wage of a legal immigrant. So the whole thing is broken.
Right.
We should be protecting border, language, and culture. And that's what makes a nation.
Yeah.
Well, I say we need to get and remember the vision of America as it was founded, which in the 1790s had most of the world in wonderment that we had won our independence from the King of England and wanted us to help them. And it was big acrimony in this country at the time. And ultimately, what we came to the conclusion of was that we can inspire people, but we can't help everybody. And in the 21st century, the way you interpret that is a very simple term. You know, it comes from a Clint Eastwood movie. A man's got to know his limitations.
Yeah, that's actually a great line, IQ. That's when you think about America, when people abroad think about this nation, I hear what Dennis says, which I never hear it put that way, but we can inspire people, back to what Reagan used to say, IQ, being that shining city on a hill, and which is symbolic of what America is. But we can inspire people, but we can't exactly fix everything in the world. I think we lose sight of that sometimes, IQ. And I think it's pulling, you know, this nation, which I think you would agree with this, IQ, is the greatest nation the world has known. And I don't say that. I know it sounds a little egotistical and biased to say that for me, but I think you probably might even agree with that statement, or am I totally off base?
You're not off base. I said it before on your show. You saved the world in World War I. You saved the world from Nazi Germany and Japan in World War II. You saved the world from communism. What more can I tell you? No, you're right.
Yeah.
But I think the point that he's making, I think the point that he's making is so profound, because, I mean, it sounds extreme, but it's true. If they really think we should have leaky borders, take the doors off your own house and welcome all those people in and see what happens. You know, and I think the other thing, Malcolm, is the rumor mill was Ronald Reagan ended the Cold War. No, we didn't. That's a lie. That was a lie to make us feel like, yay, we won. No. The Marxists knew exactly where they needed to go. And they took over even more completely the public school system. And so right now, I mean, what we are fighting is Marxism 101. Well, maybe it's Marxism 102, because they've got control of the education system. They're pumping out, you know, thousands and thousands of baby socialists. And if you can make them a baby socialist, you're one hair away from communism. Wow. And that's what we're fighting.
What an incredible conversation, I got to tell you. The wisdom coming from the four of you in this panel is fairly spectacular, quite frankly. Tremendous thank you to Ilana Friedman, Dennis Santiago, Terry Beatley, IQ Al-Razouli. Join us next week again, our one-year anniversary here. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com. Friends, we will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. While we don't discriminate against an opinion, the main thing is we are always in search of out loud truth.